Here, I'm logging in to the computer. There, you can do the comparative analysis. So you have your work cut out for you?
Certainly. Have a wonderful evening.
Vukur, a bit inexpertly, operates the magnetic lock. She has Paul with her.
I look at Vukur questioningly, and then at Francis. I meet his glance before he turns back to it, and then I move up to him to see what he's doing.
Hello, love. early night for you? It's not going to be an early night for us. Do you want to take a half shift tomorrow night?
Of course.
Yeah, you just have to, in the afternoon before you go, just swing by our place and pick up a thing.
Okay, I will do that. Okay. Thank you. Have a good one, Hannah. Good one, Hannah. Good one, Hannah.
This is Red Moon Roleplaying.
B-320 Lester was in for armed assault while breaking and entering. But whatever crawled into his top bunk and drained him dry was neither armed nor assaulting him in any conventional sense. His cellmate hasn't noticed he's dead yet. He won't for several hours. He's out of his head on spice with a new traded porn mag in one hand. He didn't even feel the bed shaking as the monster pressed Lester down on the bed and took everything he was down in 5 minutes of uninterrupted ecstasy. Only at the very peak, as Lester's life slipped away, did the monster let out an inhuman sound. The cellmate didn't dare to move for a second, frozen for half a minute. Then he heard the wet sound from above and just laughed a little. That was the weirdest sound that I've heard a fellow masturbator make, but he felt movement from above and didn't want to start a fight. So he put down his own magazine, turned over, and slept through the whole thing. But it was almost as if the prison knew. Before the body is found, will be found. Come afternoon, the walls of HMP Leeds are vibrating with frustration. Little shouts, banging, a crash, repetitive chanting, crying, they all mix in the background. Far away, distant or even not audible in the infirmary, but enough to give a sense of danger, of urgency. Even to an unexpected moment like this. Francis, as your eyes rest on the delivery date of the blood, you realize with rising anxiety that the date set for the next delivery of the blood in all those Siemens Schuckert fridges just a few meters away in the locked room, that date is set for tomorrow in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, late enough for the sun has set, and then the door opens. There's the sound of voices, and there they are. Paul meeting your eyes as you turn away from the computer. Bukur nearby. The guard in the room still busy with his headphones. Sitting and looking at his phone on a chair. They're there. You're the both of them, but the date, the blood, the everything.
Well, naturally, at this point, I'm not going to do anything because I'm not sure what's happening. I simply glance at Bakur and Paul and continue to look at the screen. After all, I am aware that the other guard is still in here and that the room obviously is on CCTV.
I look at you both and at the guard and I say, well, we really should be having another therapy session with all of this that's going on.
Is that so, Doctor?
I look between the two of you. Yes. I I'm sorry to disturb you now that you're actually getting put to work, I say. A bit strained. But, well, she thought it'd be helpful if you joined me in mine.
Oh, well, I suppose we've been brought into group sessions before. I can finish this work later. Is that all right, Mr. Guard?
The guard pops out one of his headphones and looks at you. Yeah. He picks up a walkie and says, yeah, we need one replacement for medical. Yeah, good. Yeah, it's a group therapy session. There's someone at the door. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we're sending another guard in. So, just go in there and it's going to be fine. What? What are you waiting for? Go.
I stand up and nod and merely go wherever Miss Bakur tells me to go.
Yes, I assume that we would go to our usual location, unless...
It's just a couple of doors away down the hallway. And then you bring out key card and code and open the door with the red and green light above it, the little waiting room outside. And just as you enter, the door pops. Strolling along, holding a cup of coffee and a soft bun, is Alice. Like she was walking into the office at the police department. Normal day, 3 years ago.
It makes me stop in my tracks, just looking over. Can she come too?
Yeah, she has a short interaction with the guard on duty, and it turns out she is the reinforcements that are being sent. She's the extra guard. And there she is.
Yeah. Instead of being dressed in my regular leather jacket, I am dressed in prison guard uniform. But looking quite comfortable in it. Like, I'm used to wearing this particular clothing. I look you over, but I doesn't acknowledge Francis or Paul, but look at Dr. Boucou and just look at you and say, whatever you need, madam, I am at your service.
Wonderful. Let's get inside, shall we?
Yeah, you all step inside and the door is locked behind you. You have the room. There is no camera here. The light is red. No one will disturb you.
I scratch my beard and say, well, this is an awfully convenient timing.
Yeah.
What? No hug? I look at you, Francis. Be like, what a greeting. Aren't you happy to see me?
Less happy, more concerned. I'm not quite sure how the hell you've pulled off just being able to waltz around this prison as you please. It's impressive, though, I'll give you that.
I actually went to a course to become a prison guard. Hi, Paul, how are you?
Hey.
Look at Paul.
I go up to you and I give you I go up and I give you a tentative hug.
Okay. I have like my coffee and the bun, but I kind of put my arms around you and be like, yeah, it's okay, Paul. Hi. I was joking about the hug, but yeah.
It's a weird time.
Yeah, something is a bit wrong in his body language, the way he's tense.
Ah, fuck.
You don't know if you should try to pry, but something strange there.
I don't suppose you need a hand with that coffee. I don't assume you're going to drink it.
No, it's not just for show. I hand you the coffee.
I happily take the coffee, having not had a proper coffee for probably some time.
It's quite divine. Probably under normal circumstances you would flush this one and go back to your bean grinder, grinding it by hand. But here it is, like a piece of Brazilian heaven.
You want one too? I say and looks at you, Paul.
I'm just staring now, having gone from the hag to just looking at the door where we came from. It looks like I'm just intently listening for something.
Paul.
What?
Are you...
No, I'm good. It's just something's going on tonight.
Yes, about that. You can be quite safe in this room. No one will disturb us for the next, at least, half an hour, I should think. But we really are quite in a hurry. It seems that, we should find the vampire, shouldn't we?
Yes. I think I know where they hide.
Really?
Wonderful.
Well, that's... interesting. I possibly know a location. I'm not entirely sure where that is in regard to what you know, Alice.
It's just a hunch, a guess.
I turn over to Ward quite abruptly. Why do they die 5 days later? Is that normal for blood loss?
I'm sorry, what?
Why do they die 5 days later after they've been fed upon? Is that normal?
Well, I'm not 100% sure, although I would argue that at the rate of blood loss they have been experiencing, eventually, if the body had no more blood in it, you'd die. But again, let's focus on the time frame.
Is there any indication of poisoning? Why do they get killed?
Paul, please understand, I have no idea. I have just about been able to find out a few things, but I haven't been able to... You are aware I've not been properly examining the body.
Sure. I'm sorry. I sit down and I just try to not bite my fingers.
See, the mystery of the deaths and why they're happening, I honestly have no clue. However, Madame Bacour, I have found out two things.
Yes.
And I will quickly summarize to the table the findings I have found over the last couple of weeks, mainly glossing over some of the scientific jargon, because I doubt they would understand, but focusing on a few key facts. Number one, that this prison is home to a very, very large blood bank that is connected to several conspiracies and fonts. Number two, the blood is going to be moved tomorrow. And number three, that the blood of what I believe individuals similar to Ellis, except more advanced in their condition, that is found in several of the fridges, and one of them in particular points to a cell. Isolation Ward 46.
I think, I say, and then I put the bun on the table in front of Paul. If they die, I think it's because the one who is drinking is taking too much. Like, taking too much to be able to sustain the person, the body. But the question is, why is this kindred taking so much? Also...
And I'm trying to talk with a bun in my mouth, but as it doesn't come through properly and I realize you have more to say, I just start chewing.
Yeah, I smile almost fondly. I got contacted by someone calling themselves Prince of this prison, asking me if I would serve.
Prince?
And I think, yes, a prince in kindred terms or blank body culture is someone that holds an area, which makes me conclude that either this is a person with delusions of grandeur, if he or she is alone in this, or there are more of them here, and they have kind of made a little blank body heaven.
I've seen them.
You have?
Yeah. They're on a tape.
More than one?
No, I just seen one. I know our original intel was that there might be three blank bodies in the prison, but I'm just...
Yes, one of them is Rudy. but I'm not really sure where he is or if he is alive at this point. I also know that at least one human servant is among the guards.
Oh, yes.
That is also very likely the warden. He'll be involved somehow. There is no way all this could be happening under a warden who wasn't involved, at least in some regard.
Yeah, but there's...
Not just the warden, the governor himself. Steve Robson, I met him today.
Oh, sorry, that's who I meant. Yes.
Yeah, this is someone that is much more hands-on on the floor, in direct contact with this blank body. Because she kind of tested me to see if I would pass it, some kind of test to see if I was gonna, I don't know.
Be loyal?
Bend the knee, yeah.
When you say all this, that assumes you've seen them. Who are they?
It's one of the guards, the one they called Mama. Do you know her?
Yeah. We know Mama.
All right, then. Well, she's an errand girl for whoever's running the errands. This all is a bit relevant,
yes,
though.
Yes, but I need to tell you something about these people that I don't think you know. Or do you?
Do you know she's not a blank body?
Because... She is not. It's. I think you call her a stage one, but it's more than that. Because...
No, I've revised my theory. It'd probably be more stage zero at this point.
Yes.
Stage one.
But what you don't know is that drinking the blood of a blank body will make you infatuated with them. Loyal beyond comparison. It will make you their willing, adoring slave. They will do anything for you. Kill for you. Protect you when you sleep. Anything. Which means that they are highly dangerous.
Well, we've dealt with them before, and it's not too different to my previous theories on addiction. Remember, we saw that in... Oh, I can't even remember the fucking person's name. What was the one who was...
The landlord?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The people with the landlord and all those people.
The whole house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Georgie, yeah, the whole house, they had been fed the blood, yes, of course. I just got other terms for it when I was away, but yeah, got more understanding about how it's working. Anyway, I think the person we are looking for is hiding in the D-wing, but not sure if that is the same as your cell that you had, Francis, but it's the closed off area.
Well, if this D ward has an isolation ward 46, there is definitely someone in there with a condition similar to yours.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be in use. It seems to be in a very permanent state of reconstruction, which makes it an ideal place to hide, because no one will disturb you when you sleep.
That's very true. However, I'm still a little concerned as to why the blank body conspiracy are allowing one of their own to simply murder people. I admit, Pakur, it does seem as if either they're very incompetent or I was wrong that they were trying to kill myself and Paul. That's what I thought it was originally.
Yes, I don't quite know, but this all seems very worrying. And you said the blood would be transported out tomorrow.
Yes, as I explained earlier, the blood bank here, regardless of what's happening in your little prison sting, is clearly involved in a much larger operation. Lifeblood Initiative, St. Anne Foundation. There's enough blood in this prison to supply most of the hospitals in this entire country.
And where exactly is it headed? Do you have an address?
There is no singular location. Once it is taken from here, it will go to several places and then be lost in the mail, so to speak.
I look at Alice. You said that you become obedient if you are fed the blood.
Yes.
What about transfusion? What about blood transfusion? Does that will have the same effect?
What about them? I mean, if you get their blood inside you, this will happen.
I just look over at Francis, and I pull up my shirt to show you the wounds, or supposed wounds, from where I was slashed with a knife just not too long ago.
I wrinkle my nose and say, yes, yes, I was aware of what happened there, although How are you? You haven't had any new doses. I assumed that with time, the effects would diminish.
You saw that other guy?
Yeah.
He was still in fucking... He was still on a bridge.
I think, Paul, that you need to feed repeatedly from the same blank body for it to be as strong. And it increases in strength as you...
Oh, I've had strange experiences.
You have?
I don't know if this is... If you've done... You've... We know you drank it, right? Back in the day. We had the vial and everything. We tried to dose it out. I don't know what exactly...
Yeah.
What you saw and what you perceived. Did you ever... When night fell, did you ever see people in a different way? Like...
No.
It's hard to describe. It's almost like a light... around them.
No, nothing like that. But...
I could tell that he was dreaming. I saw it, and I felt it. Rodney, my cellmate, I just...
Well, I understand, Paul, that you may have experienced something very interesting, but don't rest assured, I'm pretty sure from my studies that something more is required for you to actually progress in the infection. I think you should be fine.
Yeah, but that's not what he speak of, Francis. It's there are qualities in the blood, and you won't like this, Francis, but I would call it blood magic. The blood will give you these gifts or effects. I'm not sure how it works on humans, but for me, different blood will have different kind of feelings or effects or... Even sometimes...
You're saying it depends less on who drinks it and more where it comes from.
Yeah. And the stronger the blood, the more weird, I would say, the effect would be. But it's a guess. My experience is limited. But I'm also thinking about the one killing humans in here. It sounds like maybe it's an addiction of sorts. Maybe it's a certain kind of blood that this blank body prefers. That
it is. That... Spice uses.
Oh.
I've made a list. I could name the names. Spice uses. That's what he goes for.
So maybe...
And I know...
Maybe he can't stop himself then. That's why they die.
I know two more.
Okay.
And I just look down into the floor because I feel like what I'm trying to say is coming out all fragmented.
I frown a little, but I do start thinking. I have seen the blood. When he says spice uses... Does that ring any familiar patterns in what I saw?
Depressive, sleepiness, heaviness, immobility, melancholy. Yes, for sure.
Well, I'm willing to give you something, Ellis. You may have an interesting scientific theory that, yes, the different blood types and different things may indeed be interesting to different sorts of blank body. But to be fair, a little irrelevant. Right now we're trying to focus on... Well, Miss McCure, you're the one running the operation. What do we do now? We have a location, possibly. We have motive. What happens next? It's your plan.
Yes. Well, isn't it exciting? In a way, doesn't it seem like this was the reason that you ended up here all along? That this is the goal. We are standing here. We are so close to all of this blood that can make... normal human beings become, well, practically enslaved to these creatures. And we are so close.
I don't know.
To this old blood drinker who cannot stop himself.
Yes, it must be a severe addiction because of... I mean, he's clearly making patterns. He's making waves. One shouldn't want that. If you want to keep quiet.
No.
I mean...
Addiction is obvious at this point, Paul.
Of course.
Alter everything we've seen. It is a very addictive disease.
Of course.
But if you have this particular taste for drinking blood that has been induced with spice, a prison is a really, really good place to kind of get that urge satisfied because you can just provide the drugs and then go collect. So,
I think I know who he will visit next.
Yes?
I had my talk with the governor today, and I have two suspected. He was about to write them down on the paper, but then he decided to write them down on his hand instead. It just made me feel like he doesn't want to keep it official, but he is making notes for someone.
Mm.
It's B-148 Masri and A-435 Rick.
Hmm. Doesn't spice also comes with a risk of going mad?
Yes, sometimes. Well, regardless, we have two possible individuals who are going to be struck next by this phantom killer. Question is, Madame Picard, what do you want us to even do? Because, again, the blood itself is not beyond us. Unless, of course, you, I don't know, turn off the security cameras and walk in there with a gun and shoot all the fridges.
Oh.
I mean...
Well, I suppose we might be able to do something about the cameras for a little while. I mean... Well, most prisons don't have that great security, and I do think I could make a few phone calls, but...
I need access to the fridges. They're all extremely well encrypted, aka the only person who could open them is someone... I mean, I suppose the head physician here would have an ID on them.
I look at Paul a bit worried, because he is not himself. Francis seems completely like he used to be, which is good. It means he isn't addicted to shit. But Paul makes me worried, but I don't say anything. I just need you to consider something. And that is that if this person, this blank body, is calling himself a prince of this, it means he might have claimed this prison as a domain, which means he has some kind of, I don't know, he is recognized by other blank bodies. And it means that if we kill him, or if he gets killed by other blank bodies, there could be repercussions. One more thing, that if this is a service that he's providing, like delivering blood to other blank bodies, there might be a outside interest for this not to blow up, which means that if we blow it up, which I think it's a thing we could do, we will probably have other blank bodies on our throats, just as a way to complicate the picture a bit.
Well, Ellis, no offense, I'm currently in a prison. I have no idea where my only other significant kin is for witness protection, and I'm on supposedly here for I don't know how many years, so oh no. The whole reason I'm here was because we were suspected of being involved in conspiracies. Look at Bakur. So I don't know, what do you want us to do?
Well, that's all...
Sorry, continue, Dr. Bakur.
There's already quite a lot of unrest stirring at the prison, isn't there? Everyone is talking about being afraid of a riot rising. Perhaps we could act as part of the chaos?
You're suggesting we make advantage of the prison's situation to what? Destroy the blood samples, go hunting vampires, and all under the cover of a prison riot.
Yes, why not?
I sit and I shake my head slowly, looking down at the floor.
I look at Madeline. So you think we should start a riot in the prison?
The riot is basically going to start itself. We just need to blow on the flames a little bit.
It's not a bad idea. I like it.
I was hoping to do a long-term thing here, and it seems things are moving for us. Okay, let me ask, because I don't feel like I'm the one making the calls anymore. Are we trying to... Do we want to find out more? Do we want more information? Do we want to know where things go, or do we just want to try and kill the next blank body? And I just look between all of you, not really sure who is going to decide this.
Well, I'd love to know more, Paul, but at this point, we're this one's lapdogs, aren't we, Miss Bakur? I just want out of prison.
Yeah, I think that if this is a person that has claimed the domain and have some clout in the society, it might not be easy to kill, especially not if this if there are more of them that serves this prince. But I think we should find out more, and I think we really should get you the fuck out of here.
Yes, well, like I said, there's that time thing. Wherever that blood's going, it's going there tomorrow, and I have a feeling that the batch they'll be sending won't be refreshed for quite some time. They've clearly collected all they need.
All right, but if...
Alice.
Yes?
From your time spent outside, have you gotten any indication on how interesting it is for blank bodies to find blood in bags?
It's hard to tell. I haven't met that many. I when I was MIA, I talked to some, but most of them were refugees from their kind of fascist society. So I only know bits and pieces. But yes, there are. They call themselves kindreds, which I don't remember if we knew or not, but that,
not really, no.
That is how I learned. That's how they or we talks about ourselves, kindreds. But
Khan.
This is not a yeah.
Khan.
This is not a society that is united. They are at war with each other, like warlords in a war zone, with different gangs.
Right.
Always on each other's throats. But I think,
well,
if we could kind of create a diversion, get you all prison guard uniforms, maybe we could go with the blood is heading.
Make.
Like in an action movie.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And in the same time, find out where they're taking the blood. I mean, they need an escort, right? Of guards.
And
well, I suppose the question is, and I lean forward, what on earth do your people want, Madeline? At the end of the day, we're no longer working for anyone, really. We're only here because your organization, the Arcanum?
Yes.
Put us here. So what do they want?
Well, initially, we just wanted more information. We needed to know if the blood drinkers were Fred and how many of them there were and how they work. But now things have been moving so fast and this is going so much deeper than even I expected. I think, well...
What if it's better that blood gets drunk in the bags than them feeding on actual people, if that's the choice?
I think you're forgetting
the
something.
Blood did come from actual people, did it not?
It did indeed.
Yes, well, it's taken now, and no one has been hurt in the process. The ones being hurt are the ones from the overfeeding blank body in the that circulates the place.
Yes, but at the same time, Paul, it's still spreading the disease, remember? You just heard what Ellis said. It proves it. Drinking this stuff, feeding from this stuff, it all helps spread it around, mutate it to God knows what, I don't know. Never mind whatever infection it could be spreading.
I think we need to get that blood.
Me too. And I think you need to get out of here.
Get it where?
Get it out. Yes, I'll have
to. To do what with it? To take it? Or to do experiment with it? To find out?
No, to follow where it are taken. I also think that even if there will be a riot, this delivery won't be postponed or anything because it's not part of the prison, it's part of something else. So my guess is that they would keep on doing this even though it's like chaos I don't know. Maybe they won't get it, but then we also succeed because then we hinder it from getting into the black marker or whatever. They take it.
We are people on the outside, too.
Do we?
If we can either track it somehow or know where the first stop is going to be, we could have people follow the batch.
One thought that strikes you, Francis, of course, is the expiry date of the blood. So yes, even keeping it here for a week would guarantee make it unusable, even a few days. It hasn't been fractionated. It's it will be shit on the ordinary market, even with advanced freezes like that. So.
The only issue of all this, Paul, you have to understand, this sort of blood isn't for the black market. It's the blood, when it's not kept refrigerated, immediately begins to no longer be usable, at least not for most things. And then this blood, I'm pretty sure... We did tests with Ellis, remember? We can't just give them dead blood.
I mean, we can drink it.
One problem, though, of your grand plan, everyone, not to put a buzz in the bonnet, is that we'll be following this blood carriage, yes. The second we leave this prison, we are no longer in the prison where things are going a bit wrong. We'll be in some sort of warehouse, probably heading to a place full of security. And then, well, I'm myself, you've got Paul, fugitive, and you, Ellis. And that's all we'll have. Unless, of course, because your people are suddenly going to finally spring in and reveal all the guns and all the toys.
Well, I have people, too, that could bear in.
I have a question for you, Dr. Bukor.
Yes.
That are we in any way in a position to kind of put demands on your organization? Because we, especially Francis and Paul here, are risking their lives for this cause. So if we, let's say we try to take care of the blank body problem in this prison, could that be as payment for actually getting them out of here? I mean, you roll in with the money and the lawyers and just overturning sentences. Is that a demand that these men could make to your organization? Or
well,
are they just expected to follow you blindly without any payment or rewards?
It's a very fair question. I mean, the Arcanum does really dislike demands. They're very impolite. But of course the plan was always to get you out.
I believe I was put here for a purpose. I think that I can do good here.
Paul, something is telling me that you don't want to get out. And you have a family. You have a daughter that loves you and longs for you. So what the fuck? What is wrong with
you? They have a new life now. I've seen things here. I've met people here, people who are suffering, who need guidance.
Oh my god, look at you wallowing in your own self-pity. This is disgusting, actually. Get the fucking grip and get out of here so you can be with your family, whatever. Paul, what the fuck?
In Paul's defense, he can't get out of here and be with his family. You know that.
I mean, he can get out and fight for them. But he won't, because he likes prison life now, or what's going on?
I don't know. I haven't. For our own safety, we haven't exactly been keeping in contact. Oh, so I was briefly committed by Bukur here, as you recall.
I recall. And I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with you, Paul. This is not you. Who the fuck are you?
I've seen the blank body on the tape. The hideous face. One of the victims took it before he... Well, not actually the victim, but his roommate took it. I found the camera. I found the tapes.
Yeah, we've seen shit before. We've seen blood rain down from a ceiling. I threw myself out from a building with the fucking landlord. We've seen shit, but this didn't make us go, oh, maybe I should stay here in the prison and don't take responsibility for my life. What the fuck?
Well, wait. My interests are more practical.
Oh my god.
Just one thing for clarification, Gabrielle. I am very interested in getting out of prison, but I would like it done at least slightly legally. Madeline, what was the plan for stopping me being a fugitive?
Yeah, but Francis, I know that you want, and I want to do it legal as well. I just want you out. But I'm not saying we should break you out. But look at Mr. Paul over there. He doesn't want to get out. And that fucking worries me. Because either he will stay in here, becoming a fucking wreck, or he will do something really stupid, like a suicide mission, because he thinks he has nothing to live for. And Paul, I'm gonna fucking slap you if you don't just snap out of it and come back and be fucking useful. I don't care what you saw. Do something. Get a fucking grip. Come on.
I just look at you blankly while you say all this, and then I shrug and I say, well, you know why we were put here in the first place. There is a tactic to it as well.
Yeah.
It's not just the... It's, there are practical things too.
Okay.
Them out there knowing that we are in here, thinking that we're not pursuing the operation, there are things that we can do because of us being here as well.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I will go out from here and I will go home to your daughter that is currently staying with me, and I will tell her that I'm sorry, Sarah, but your dad doesn't want to come out.
Paul, one thing to consider.
What?
Is... Yes, what?
Uh-huh. You heard me. Fucking snap out of it.
Sarah is with you.
Yes.
How is she?
What do you think, Paul? She thinks her dad doesn't want to see her. So please, and I soften a bit, going closer. For the love of God, Paul, come back. Your family needs you. We need you.
I nod slowly and I grow quiet for a bit.
As I was going to say, a more practical concern is that I have been saying they are very incompetent, but even they can't be too incompetent forever. If this killer doesn't kill us tomorrow, they'll kill us soon. They can't be completely unaware that we're investigating them.
A very good point.
I agree.
The governor was worried about my safety too. But I'm not sure if that's what he's worried about. Is it my safety or something else that I might do? He wanted to transfer me to the VPU.
Okay, so let's start a riot and then we investigate the closed off wing. See if we can find this prince and then we kill him. Easy as pie.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the third season of the Chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition. Our storyteller was Martin Eriksson, and we were also joined by Anna Karin Linder and Freya Jullenström. The music was created by Lola Zaza, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org, zapsplat.com, and Cernscape. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoshobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Delange, Julian, Cameron, Ryan F., and Xavier for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, this show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check it out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.